Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, new details on the Millennium Falcon attraction coming to Galaxy's Edge, Rose Gold is over,
a possible Dole Whip competitor, and we discuss some of our tips for the parks. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of April 4th, 2018. I'm Tegg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. You're going to hear us say this on the show for the next couple of months. We're taking a survey of our listeners and we'd like you to participate. It will help us learn more about you, no matter how long you've been a listener or how frequently you listen to the show. So please take a few minutes and visit our website at disneylandweekly.com/survey. You'll be automatically redirected to the listener survey and you can complete the survey anonymously. Thank you to all of you who have already completed the survey. We are happy seeing all of your feedback. Thank you.
Now let's get to the news.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disney.
Welcome to Disneyland, the happiest place.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disney.
Hello
and welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. Hope you'll have a wonderful and memorable stay in this happy place called Disney.
Greetings, folks. We're now leaving for Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom, Disneyland, USA.
Your attention, please. The Disneyland Limited now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. All passengers,
welcome to Main Street, USA.
Standing in Town Square, U.S.
When Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens next summer, new technology from NVIDIA will power the Millennium Falcon attraction. NVIDIA worked with ILM X-Lab to develop the technology that will drive the projection in the cockpit of the Falcon. It will synchronize 5 projectors, creating a high-resolution picture that will be highly responsive to the guest choices in the attraction. This is kind of neat. This wasn't even a Disney like press release. This was actually from NVIDIA on their website on the 28th of March. That was talking about like how their technology is going to be used to kind of make this an interactive thing. I know we've talked about it on the show before with the fact that, you know, decisions that you make inside this attraction are going to affect everything outside of this attraction in Galaxy's Edge. So it's interesting to see that they have all this stuff working between NVIDIA and ILM X-Labs to do this. Does this sound kind of interesting to you? Look, they're going to have 5 projectors all synchronized so everything kind of works together.
I just can't wait to experience this attraction. I just really can't wrap my mind around it. So I'm just so excited to see it in real life and to be able to be there cockpit, you know, in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon and just, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too.
Move over, Rose Gold. There's a new hot color scheme in town. Millennial Pink is the new color that Disney is pushing this spring, and it already looks to be a hit as the Rose Gold items that were frequently out of stock are now easy to come by. You can pick up the new ears and spirit jerseys in the World of Disney store in Downtown Disney now and in parks starting in the middle of April. So I'm not a really big fan of this one. Honestly, if I had to choose me personally, I think I'd go for the Rose Gold over this Millennial Pink. I don't know if anybody's looked at it online, but it's like a soft pink, I guess would be a good way of saying it. I guess I didn't realize that Millennial Pink was a new thing and a new color, but it is a more, like I said, like a softer pink. So I can see how it would appeal to some people, just not me.
I think the only thing I don't like about this is I didn't really care for Rose Gold, and we kind of talked about that previously. These ones kind of just look pink to me. What caught me was on the Disney Parks blog, they talked kind of like about how they came across this, and I just think it sounds so like marketing speak. So they said, this is Jeannie Lewis from the headwear development team said, "We experiment with popular color trends when designing merchandise for Disney parks. With its soft blush hue, Millennial Pink is one of the hottest colors in the market, making the new headband an on-trend must-have item for springtime visits." To me, that just makes me not want it because it seems like it's just marketing speak.
You know what's amazing to me? I feel like the Rose Gold wasn't around for really that long. I feel like it was just a couple weeks ago that we were talking about that it was the new thing. And we were just talking about the churros and the whole Rose Gold fad and craze that happened. So I'm surprised that they're already moving on to the next thing.
Well, I'm not even sure that Disney is done with the Rose Gold because an item that was seen this week at the parks was Rose Gold macaroons.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Once you have your new millennial pink wardrobe, you can take a ride on the monorail that has a new look of its own. Monorail Orange has been wrapped with The Incredibles for the launch of Pixar Fest and the debut of The Incredibles 2 opening this summer. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen pictures of this yet, Teresa?
Not yet. I'm actually looking it up as we speak, and it, wow, that looks awesome.
It does look pretty good.
We'll make sure that we post links in our show notes so you guys can find a link to this too. But the entire monorail is, the entire car system, I guess, is wrapped in Incredibles, and it's just, it looks awesome. I love the colors. I love the characters. Well done, Disney.
Yeah, I like this too. It reminds me of the last time that they did a wrap on the monorail, and that was for when Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage came out. And I believe they did it on another time too for something, and it's slipping my mind what it actually was.
You know, the thing I think I like best about this is it actually, all of the characters appear as they're running on the side of the car. So it's very action-filled. It's very just neat-looking. The colors are just... it's mostly red, but then there's, you know, some pinks and yellows and greens in there too. It's just
so you
really
like it. You think
done.
They should do this type
like
of stuff more
it.
Often?
Yeah, I do. Helps to promote new things, and it's something different in the parks. And I'm sure it cost wise, it probably isn't really that big of an expense compared to, you know, repainting the cars themselves.
That's
but
true.
No, I do like it a lot, and especially, you know, with Pixar Fest and Pixar Pier, everything Pixar happening right now, it totally fits in with everything. I know that a lot of you like to eat Dole Whips and churros from the parks, but you don't have to wait any longer. Our friends over on the Tim Tracker on YouTube posted a video yesterday on how you can make these tasty creations yourself at home. Their video shows that it's pretty easy to make the Dole Whip, but the churros take a little more effort. I think that this is something everyone who can't make it to the resort should try to ease their Disneyland withdrawal. I know I have been going through major Disneyland withdrawal, so Tag, once my kitchen is done, I think we need to break it in by making some Dole Whip. Maybe churros. I feel like churros might be a little complicated for me, but yes, let's do it.
According to the video, the churros weren't too bad. There was just a lot more steps. So from memory, what I remember is with the Dole Whips, it's frozen pineapple.
Yum.
Mixed in with like some other ingredients or whatever and like blended. And
sure.
Then it's done. And then the churros were also not a lot of ingredients, but more process. Because you had to mix a couple things together first and let them sit for a few minutes. Then you add another couple ingredients. Then you had to get oil heated up. Then you had to get it in like a piping bag to make it come out the right
shape. Okay. I was going to say, I feel like my churros wouldn't be very, very nice looking.
Right. And then you have to take it out of that and you have to mix a sugar cinnamon concoction in to dip it in or whatever. They said it was really good. I love churros. And I'm not usually a huge pineapple fan, but the last time I went to Disneyland, I got a Dole Whip and I really liked it. You know what?
So
here's
good.
Something interesting. So yesterday... James and I went to, we have a burger joint here in town called Rudy's, and they only open, they're like a drive-through thing, like you drive up. They have a Dole Whip.
They have Dole Whip. I know, I was actually going to mention that. We're a little spoiled here.
Did you ever try it?
I haven't tried their Dole Whip yet. The only time I've had Dole Whip outside of Disneyland was in Hawaii at the Dole Pineapple Plantation.
Was it even better there?
I mean, everything's better because it's Hawaii, but no, it was the same thing. It was very much the same thing, but it was just, I just love Dole Whips.
Dole Whips are good. I understand. After the last time I was there, I was like, I get this now. And I understand why
Especially
everybody made a big deal.
On a nice, like a hot summer day, a Dole Whip's just even better.
Even having to wait in the line.
You know, I somehow have managed to not ever have to wait in the line. I should knock on wood, because now the next time I'm going to go, it's going to be a horrendous line. But I somehow, you know, I kind of cheat. So you know how when you're at the hut or whatever for the Dole Whips,
sure.
I actually will get my Dole Whip before I go to the tiki room. And there's a second counter inside there. And so I go to that second
That has
counter.
A much shorter line.
Much, much shorter line. Well, I think people feel like they can't go back there if they're not going to go to the performance.
Let them keep thinking that.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of people skip it. Or they maybe just don't even know it's back there.
You can also go to Trader Sam's and get one infused with rum.
I know. We're doing that next time.
So on the Tim Tracker video, they actually added some rum to theirs, mm-hmm. and she's like, I don't think I like rum.
Oh, no.
Because I think she added too much rum, to be honest. When Pixar Pier opens this summer, be on the lookout for an exciting new frozen treat featuring Lemon Dole Whip. The adorable snowman frosted treat stand will be serving up Don't Worry, It's Lemon, a bright yellow soft serve topped with white chocolate. There will be a parfait. There will also be a parfait version with delicious layers of the lemon soft serve and a blue raspberry slush.
So do you get, I mean, yes, you get the joke.
Yellow snow.
Don't worry. It's so in the movie Monsters, Inc., when I believe it's Mike meets the abominable snowman, he goes outside and makes snow cones. And, of course, they're yellow. And he's like, don't worry. You know, so that's where the pun came from. So
I like it.
I think it's cute.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a huge lemon fan.
Well, I'm going to try it just because honestly, the lemon and blue raspberry parfait sounds intriguing to me. I feel like that could be pretty good.
Well, in the words of Donkey, who doesn't like parfait?
Everybody likes parfait.
Everybody likes parfait. All right. Well, that wraps up our news segment this week. In the last few weeks, we've been doing a tour of Disneyland and California Adventure. We wrapped that up. I'm sure, Teresa, you were very devastated to miss the end of that.
Yeah, California Adventure is not my favorite park. I really like to enjoy the history of Disneyland. So,
is there anything that you wanted to say about the Grizzly Peak area or Paradise Pier that you missed out on?
Nothing that I could think of, because I did listen to the podcast last week.
Good.
But yeah,
how do you think James did?
I think James did really well. I might have to watch my back.
The listener said that too, so.
I may need to watch my back, but I think he did very well. But yeah, no, quite honestly, it was kind of okay that I wasn't around for that part, because a lot of those attractions over there, I just have not taken the time to check out, so I wouldn't have had very much firsthand knowledge and experience to go off of with it. I just would have been talking about the facts. So really the only one that I enjoy, probably my favorite attraction over there, is Soarin'. I haven't done, last time I did it was Soarin' Over California. I haven't done Over the World yet. So I can't imagine it'd be too much different. And of course, the River Run also too.
I was devastated last week because when I was trying to find music for our interlude before the news, mm-hmm. I was looking for Patrick's safety spiel because I really wanted that, because that's like my favorite thing. But nobody has like a clean recording of it.
Really?
It's all like with people around. So it wouldn't sound good on the podcast. Well, we finished up our tour. So this week we're going to talk about tips at the park. And this was actually suggested in our Slack channel from patrons. So if you want some input on what to have on the show and what topics we talk about, you can become a patron. Just go to disneylandweekly.com/support and you can find out how there.
And I believe it's the $3 level that gets you access into our Slack channel to be able to kind of help us with building the show or, you know, just talking about anything Disney. I believe this week we got a little bit off topic, which is fine because we're good at that. And we're talking about Avatar and what we thought of 3D movies, all sorts of stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's getting there. You know, we got more patrons, so more people have been invited to it. So it's nice to have a little talk. Laura's always in there chatting up a storm. She always has good questions every day. So get in there if you can. So this week, again, like I said, we're doing tips at the park. So we're kind of just going to talk about different things that we have or different things we do or things you may not know about or isn't advertised, that kind of thing. So my tip, the first thing I thought about when we kind of started talking about doing this kind of tips episode was on the Indiana Jones Adventure, one way to make it a little wilder, if you will, is if you sit down, and this works better at one of the corners. So if you're in the front row on the right, on the far right or far mm-hmm. left, or if you're in the back row on the far right, far left, you'll get the most out of this. But when you sit down and you get your belt on and everything, as you start to go, if you push your feet against the chair in front of you or against the dash in front of you, and you push your butt off the seat just a little bit, as you hit all the bumps and move around, you will move around quite a bit. And your seatbelt keeps you there. You're not going to go flying out. But I think it gives you kind of a wilder ride.
I could see that. And quite honestly, as long as you're either in the front or the back and on the edge, you're going to have a more wild ride. I feel like just how that ride vehicle moves, if you're in the middle, you're not going to have as big of a range of motion
right.
Throughout the park, throughout the attraction, which, I mean, for some people that might be better. Maybe you don't want to get kind of whooshed all over the place.
Well, little kids too.
Yeah, yeah. So
better to put them inside.
So one of the ones, and you know, I don't even know if this is relevant anymore. We'll talk about it. Every time I went on the Tower of Terror, so I'm sure it's probably the same now with Guardians of the Galaxy, but what I would always do is when I was sitting there, it wasn't that big of a deal, but instead of resting my feet on the floor like you would normally do, I would actually lift my feet off the ground so they'd kind of hover, and it made the drops that much more thrilling. And quite honestly, you know, I think I figured this tip out one of the times that we were on the attraction and the people behind me were talking about it. And so I, you know, so we chatted about it and I tried it and it freaked me out so much that halfway through I had to put my feet back down because it was just a little too intense for me, but it was fun. And I could see how I'm not a huge thrill roller coaster ride person to begin with. So I could see how people that prefer that thrill would really enjoy that. So like I said, I'm not sure if it's still relevant. I haven't tested it out on the new Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm sure it's the same.
I feel like the ride system itself is the same. It's just the things that you're looking at might be different. Maybe I'm wrong, though. I don't know.
I think it's going to be similar enough to do that. I'll tell you what. I've never actually done the feet thing, but if you raise your hands, you know, to take the picture to show you're not, like, not afraid, you will come off the thing, and then what ends up happening to me is I always reach down and grab. I try to look as like awesome as possible right when the picture takes, and then I freak out and I go into like my ball.
James and I were actually discussing this before the podcast, and just ride photos in general, I am horrible at them every time they
come out.
What are
you, blinking or looking up?
Oh no, I just look petrified every time. Even if I'm like, I don't even remember screaming on that attraction. There I am. There's photographic evidence of me freaking out.
Right.
So, yeah.
I was fine the whole
and
attraction
every time
and then
that
picture.
So the best was, one of the last times that we were at the park, we went on the, we went on Splash Mountain several times at night because there's no line. Why not? And so I figured out exactly when I needed to be paying attention for that ride photo, and yeah, still couldn't do it, but that's
it's like
okay.
1 second after the thud at the top.
I know where it is, but I just can't do it.
Yeah.
The anticipation of the drop just
yeah, I always scream and put my hands up and try to look really, really like, yeah, I'm into this. And then as soon as the flash happens, I grab and I duck down. I'm a wuss.
So that kind of will get us into the next section. So So when we were on Splash Mountain, we were doing it at dark. So next kind of area that we can discuss things with are different rides that are actually kind of a little better or a little different, I guess, when it's actually dark outside. So rides to experience at night. So some of the big ones is if you kind of do some of those big e-ticket rides, just the fact that you're not going to have the lines is a huge, huge plus.
First thing in the morning or at the end of the day is your best chance for any of those big E-tickets.
For sure.
Yep.
So that would be Splash Mountain, Splash Mountain, Matterhorn, Space Mountain, and Big Thunder Railroad. So it's not necessarily that the ride's that much better at night. It is just a different experience. It is a little bit more thrilling since you don't really know you can't exactly see where you're going to go.
I really like, because you mentioned, I really like the Matterhorn at night because I like Tomorrowland at night. As much as I don't like Tomorrowland in its current incarnation, it does look cool at night. Mm-hmm. So I do like the Matterhorn for that. Splash Mountain is also good because I like seeing Phantasmic from up there or even the fireworks it's going on.
Well, you know, and the last time I was at Splash Mountain, and I don't know if it was the actual lighting that they had inside of the attraction, but all of the different scenes just seem really dark to me. So it was almost a little creepy going through because it was just Vern and I in our log. There was nobody in the log in front of us. I mean, there was nobody else.
I've never been on a log alone.
Oh, it was weird. There was nobody else in any of the logs anywhere that we could see around us. So we were really...
What time of year were you there?
This was... it was August. I know.
That's surprising.
I don't know. So we're in there. All of the, you know, all of the scenes are very dimly lit, so they're kind of creepy anyways.
Right.
There's nobody else. There's no, like, noises from people. It's all just the audio animatronic noises. It was creepy.
I can see that.
It was not my laughing place, I can tell you that. But it was, we did it several times. I mean, it was almost to the point that they could have just left us on the log and just kept us going round and round.
I've never been there when it's been that dead.
Oh, it was a little eerie.
Wow.
But
I see. You also have written down here Storybook Land Canal Boats. Those are lit really nice at night. I see you have that written down here. So
yeah, so that's not one that I have actually had the pleasure to experience, but it's one of the things that I've been wanting to go and check out next time I'm there, because I've heard that the lighting on the different scenes or different, I guess, castles or whatever you want to call them.
Scenes.
Yeah, just looked really, really nice at night. So it was one of those, if you really enjoy it during the day, it's completely different at night, and you're actually going to enjoy it in a different sense. So the other one that came up too was actually there were suggestions to go on Finding Nemo at night, not because the actual ride itself
is
different, you know, because you're in the submarine, so everything's the same, but walking up to the lagoon, the lighting on it is just gorgeous.
Well, even in the sub, the lighting is different, because during the day you've got like a lot of the sun, and at night it's all just those,
just the scenes.
And I'll be honest, you know, I think my favorite thing to do, my favorite time to go to Disneyland is at night.
Well, everything's just lit so beautifully.
Yeah.
Whether you're walking down Main Street, looking at the castle, I mean, all of it's just lit.
I'm trying to think if there's a single attraction that I like better during the day, and I don't think there is. I like the whole park at night.
I could see Big Thunder Mountain, because I feel like there's not,
I guess it's
too much lighting going on there. So if you enjoy looking at the scenes as you're whipping around, you can't really see them as well at night.
Yeah, but it's lit up a little bit, but yeah, it's definitely harder to see for sure.
You know, and then another one too is Haunted Mansion, which you wouldn't really think about this, but it's just a little bit more creepy walking into the Haunted Mansion at night. Kind of gets you in the mood a little bit more. And the other nice thing too is your eyes have already adjusted, so you're not going from super bright to super dark.
Yep.
So some people have said that they feel like they can see more inside of the attraction because their eyes are just used to the darkness already. So that was cool. I never thought of that.
Alice in Wonderland's like that too, because it's so bright out.
Yeah.
And there's scenes like right when you go from the bright outside. The Matterhorn's almost like that too. When you start to go up, there's you can see the Abominable Snowman like on the side, but like your eyes have to adjust. It's really weird.
Sure. So you maybe miss it. And then obviously too, the other one is any of the dark rides in Fantasyland, especially just because they're just so busy during the day, and maybe if you're going at night, it's gonna be less children, you know, less packed, less families, so maybe, you know, your ride experience itself isn't as loud because you don't have as many people, and you know how little kids, they just get so excited, so you know, sometimes they're, you know, I don't know, screaming, I guess. Not screaming like in terror, but, you know, screaming because they're excited when they're in the ride. So it might just be a more relaxing, more pleasurable experience that way.
Well, that brings, you know, if you want to experience some attractions in the middle of the day, there are a few attractions that have single rider lines. So they just added a single rider line to Space Mountain. They've had the single rider line for a long time on Indiana Jones Adventure, on the Matterhorn, on Splash Mountain, what is going to be the Incredicoaster, Goofy Sky School, Grizzly River Run, and Radiator Springs Racers. And honestly, if you're just there, like, for instance, like, if you and Vern go, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could go on the single rider line if you want to get through something faster. Because a lot of times on a lot of attractions, there's no need for, like, me to be with whoever I'm with. Like, if you're on the Incredicoaster, like, you're not talking to each other while you're going on it, really.
Yeah, but I don't know, I'm weird. I like the security of knowing the person next to me.
I suppose.
I'm just weird, though.
I guess I've had experiences where, like, I usually get stuck next to, like, a small child, and they're just kind of, like, timid and scared.
Afraid of you?
Yeah. Well, no, of the attraction itself,
well,
too.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So you sit down, you just kind of spark up a conversation. I don't know. I like the single rider lines, especially if, like, you know, you want to go on these big attractions that have a long line during the day. Another tip that a lot of people, I think, that go to the parks, especially people that go to the parks only every once in a while, is they pass up the tours. So they actually have quite a few guided tours that you can take at the parks. And I personally have taken the Walk in Walt's Footsteps tour, which was great. I believe it's just a few hours long. They kind of walk you around. They talk about a lot of the history of the park and Walt Disney being there. And they change it up every once in a while. For a while, you were able to get up into Walt's apartment above the firehouse with this tour. Other times, you've been able to get into other different things. You do get to go on, I believe, a couple different attractions without waits in line and stuff like that. So
that's neat.
Yeah, I think you get to go into like Pirates or Haunted or something like that as well. So that's a great tour. I like it a lot.
Do you get to see different things in those attractions? Like, do you get to see behind the scenes things?
Or not really. They just kind of like point stuff out and talk about the history of it. So think of our podcast
mm-hmm.
there. from a tour guide who probably knows a little bit more.
I'm sure a lot a bit more, but right? That's really cool.
Yeah. And then during the Halloween time, you can get the Disney's Happiest Haunts tour, which kind of gives you a tour of Disneyland and California Adventure. And they kind of talk about all their holiday decorations and stuff like that. And I believe you get to go on Haunted Mansion Holiday, for instance. They also, if Halloween's not your thing, you can also do the Holiday Time at Disneyland tour, which also takes you a tour around for the holidays for all the Christmas stuff. And so I'm sure they talk about all their decorations, stuff like that. Those tours I have not been on, but I think people said that they've been pretty good. So I would recommend, if they're anything like the Walk in Walt's Footsteps tour, highly recommend them. I'm sure they're great. You can also spend a ridiculous amount of money and get a VIP tour, which basically you get your own tour guide with your group the whole day. And some of the things you get from this is like you get to go on Attractions Without Waits, but they're very expensive. So
I don't know if I did something like that, I'd want to be able to like go behind the scenes of some of my favorite attractions. I'd want really immersive. If I'm going to pay that much for a VIP tour.
Well,
I want this to see is mostly it all.
I think this is mostly geared towards people that have a lot of money and don't want to spend a lot of time and stuff. A lot of times the people that pay for this are like celebrities that like you're not going to see a celebrity waiting in line with everybody
else. And the other thing too is, I mean, if you don't have, you know, if money's not a thing for you, you don't have the time, you don't want to devote the time to plan the trip, you just give this person money and they can, they've got just a huge knowledge bank. So they probably would even help you with like the fast pass systems or even just simple things like, hey, this time during the day, Fantasyland's usually not very busy. Let's go check that out now, or, you know, whatever.
Well, they are the experts.
Exactly.
So something that you can get if you stay at a hotel, we talked about this previously. If you stay at a Disneyland Resort hotel, you get early entry into the parks. If you buy a 3-day ticket or more, you get one early entry day, I believe, on one of those tickets. So that's one tip that we have for you is if you have that option, don't sleep in that day. Yeah, definitely do it, because that gets you past all those things. If you do not have that, let's say you're an annual pass holder and you want to get your most out of your day, let's say you have an annual pass for whatever reason but don't go all that often, get there early, at least 40 minutes before opening. And when I say 40 minutes before opening, I don't mean like pulling into the parking garage at that point. I mean like in the entrance plaza, ready to go in one of the parks. Get there 40 minutes early. And I'll tell you, I've seen pictures, I mean, of like 30 minutes out, and there's already huge lines backed up from park to park.
I believe it. Well, and I believe it's Main Street actually opens earlier than the park. So you can actually go in, do some shopping, maybe eat breakfast on Main Street, you know, kind of ease into your day more so. And kind of just, and the other nice thing too is getting there early, you're beating the crowds. So you get to see the park very rare, you know, in a very rare state where there really isn't that many other people there. So you get to get those picturesque photos of the castle and all that sort of stuff.
If you want another time, this is another one of our tips. If you want another time when there's not a lot of people and get some really interesting photos and stuff of the resort, go when it rains.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I don't know why people just won't go when it rains, even if they have park tickets for it. They'll just like stay in their hotel, like waiting for it to end.
Nobody likes to. Nobody really prefers to stand around the rain. I get it. It's not always
just water.
Most fun. I know. No, I get that. But if it's cold and all that kind of stuff, yeah. I get it. But I'm totally one of those people that like races to the park when it's raining, knowing that nobody else will be there and that my lines will be shorter.
Throw on a jacket.
Yeah.
Throw on a poncho.
Is it my favorite thing? No, but.
It is actually
totally
one
works.
Of my favorite things, I'll be
really?
Honest.
Really? Yeah. Wandering around in the rain.
Because a few years ago, we went to my friend Beth and Laura, who listens, both went with me to the park. We went for New Year's, and we went on California Screamin', and it was raining. And it was cool, because like we were getting like pelted in the face. It was just a
weird
experience.
It was
more
thrilling, huh?
It was more thrilling. And it was just, I don't know, I just liked it. Everything looks, like I like it at night anyway, but you get all the reflective surfaces with the rain and stuff.
Sure.
Really enjoy it.
All right, so something else to do when you're on Main Street, maybe perhaps this is when you're there early. You can do this on Main Street, you can do this in California Adventure, but you need to stop and you can pick up all sorts of different free buttons. Some of the different buttons include happy birthday, your first visit. They even have just graduated. The generic, I'm celebrating, you can fill in the blank. but then there's also just engaged. And the ones that I really need to get my hands on, there's an honorary citizen of Disneyland button and a Toontown honorary citizen button. I have not seen those before.
I've never
really excited
heard
about
of them.
Those. No, neither have I. But I actually was looking at the City Hall, the Disneyland City Hall website to get this list.
Wow.
Because I guess I didn't realize that they switched the buttons out every once in a while. So I was happy to see that I actually have some of the now retired buttons in my collection. So that was pretty cool.
Have you worn them around the park?
Yeah. So I think the first time I had a button was we were actually there. It was right before my birthday. So I did wander around with a little happy birthday button. I was all proud about it. But it was really neat because a lot of the cast members took the time to stop and wish me a happy birthday. I'm weird. I felt a little guilty.
Other
I was
guests?
Like, oh, God, it's not my birthday, but, you know, thanks. You know, it's actually
other guests
two,
will do that
two
too.
Days from today. But so, yeah, other guests would do that too.
Every time I see a pin, I always say happy birthday or congratulations.
Yeah.
Because when I went there, I had a they don't have it anymore, but I had got a just married one, mm-hmm. and people were saying congratulations and everything, and it was awesome.
Well, and I've heard rumors, it hasn't happened to me, but I've heard rumors that depending on what your button is and what it is that you're there celebrating, you mean maybe the cast members would go out of their way, or
yep.
maybe when you're at dinner, they'll give you a free dessert if you just got married or if you just got engaged, you know, whatever. So it is neat that this little simple button actually speaks volumes, I guess.
And if it's your first time, definitely go in and get the first visit.
Yes. And the buttons are just really, really creatively done. And they're very, I don't know, they make me smile when I look at them. They're just very happy looking buttons. So even if you don't wear it every day, it's a nice memory to have and keep.
Now, we've talked about food a lot on this podcast, even though we really
haven't
had a food
episode. You know, one
of
our discussion episodes or discussion topics
should
is going to have to be food.
We should. People love food.
Why not, right?
Well, we did like a whole thing on the Food and Wine Fest. Mm-hmm, we could definitely mm-hmm. do it on the rest of the park choices. So a couple things that I wanted to talk about here, because I actually waited a really long time to experience a couple of these things, and I wanted to make sure that you guys did not wait. First of all, in Adventureland, the Bengal Barbecue. I walked by this place literally years and never stopped there. And I finally went there the last time we were in the parks. And their skewers are amazing. And
yeah.
I kicked myself so much for not having them previously. I was so mad. I was like, I could have been eating these for years. I mean, I actually went there two or three times on that trip, too, because they were so good. They're great for, like, a little snack. You can buy multiple. They have different variations. You can buy multiples there. I like them. They're not too expensive, actually.
And Bengal Barbecue is a counter service restaurant.
Yeah, you just walk
correct?
Up and get mm-hmm. it. Yep. It's almost like an outdoor vending cart, but
yeah.
it's part of a building.
Yep.
One thing that I also like to do at the park food-wise is as you come in down Main Street, I always stop at the little fruit cart that's the little center street there across mm-hmm. from the Carnation Cafe.
Yep.
I get a watermelon slice. I like their watermelon a lot. Get that in the morning, kind of get you going. By the time you get to the end of Main Street, you're done with it. You can throw the rind away in the garbage. Good to go. Carnation Cafe, great place for breakfast in the morning, also on Main Street. Kind of limited seating. I know they've kind of expanded to inside recently, so... that's also a good place to eat and get good breakfast stuff. Of course, we've talked about the Riverbell Terrace before.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing breakfast anymore. I'm still upset about that. So there's a lot of good places to have breakfast in the park, but Carnation Cafe has been one there for quite a while.
Yeah, and if you don't want to spend the money to eat in the parks, or if you only want to have maybe one of your meals in the parks, it's really surprising to me, and I'm so glad that they allow this, because most places... this is an absolute big no-no. But you are actually allowed to bring in your own food and your own beverages in the park, just as long as you don't bring any alcohol or any glass containers. So, I mean, this has got to save families just tons
of money.
Just tons of money. The last time we were there, one of us had a backpack, and we'd swap out with it. And, I mean, even just having snacks every once in a while, especially with children. Because, you know, kids, they like snacking. They get hungry more often. They're, you know.
Right. Well, even adults, I mean, sometimes you can get in lines for an hour or two and you get to like the hour and a half point, and you're like, gosh, I wish I had something
right,
to snack on.
Yeah. Or even just the simple thing of having bottled water with you and not having to pay for water while you're in the park.
That's a big one.
Making sure that you're staying hydrated in the park, because I know me, I get too excited about doing things and I have to like stop and remember, nope, you need to drink water. You've been out here in the heat for however long, you know.
Or you need to eat.
You need to rest, or, you know, whatever. I just get too excited and I just want to do everything at once.
I don't blame you.
Which is fine. So it's amazing to me that you can actually bring in your own food and beverages.
I was surprised about this as well. I was thinking it was like a movie theater. You had to like smuggle everything in. But one of the things that they also say on the Disneyland website about this is you can't bring a full-size cooler or anything like that.
Yeah.
But if you have something that you, if you have like a smaller cooler that you can put stuff in, like a lunch pail kind of thing, you can put that in your backpack.
Well, basically, and really, anything who, you can carry who with wants you. To drag around some big old plastic cooler with
well,
them
you know,
even,
I
you
was
know?
Reading about strollers. On one of the Disney sites I was looking, they had a forum post mm-hmm. about strollers in the parks. And one of the things that was like, how come, because they had pictures of when they were kids and they're like, not that many strollers.
Oh,
why are there
sure.
so many strollers now when there weren't before? And why are they so large? And people have really come to, everybody just kind of takes everything with them and
That's
they put
true.
Them on the stroller. So it's not even the strollers there for the kid necessarily.
No.
It's to carry all their junk.
It's their trolley.
Yes.
It's their own personal trolley.
If you can not bring a stroller to Disneyland, you can rent them. They're very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. They're smaller. They fit things. They're durable. You don't have to worry about people stealing them like we talked about a couple weeks ago. I would highly recommend don't bring your own. And if you do bring your own, please don't load up everything. Bring like a little umbrella stroller. And I know I'm going to make somebody who's listening to this angry by saying this, but for the love that is everything good in the world, if your kid doesn't need to be in a stroller, please don't bring a stroller or don't put the kid in a stroller. Laura, that was for you.
I don't know if I want to know.
Laura hates strollers because she gets hit with them a lot.
Does she always get hit with them?
And
there's always that one person in the group that always
seems
to get.
The last couple times that I've been there, I've been irritated with them too because they're just everywhere. And it's such a limited walking space anyway. And now you've got all these strollers you have to park. And it just frustrates me. It's like I just have a backpack like that I carry with me. And I could put like between my legs, you know, when I'm on an attraction or in the little pocket or whatever. I don't have to, like, park this giant SUV of a stroller outside.
You know, that's the other amazing thing to me, too, is going on any Disney attraction, whether you're in Disney World or Disneyland, the fact that you can stow your belongings in your ride vehicle is amazing to me. Because we went to, and I never really appreciated this until we went to Universal. We had to go check out the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And each time you went on any attraction, they made you
put it in a locker
you didn't have to rent a locker, but you had to go find yourself this locker, and it was just a bottleneck and just not fun to try and squish into this little area where there's really not enough lockers for everybody that's probably in line and on the attraction. Tiny little lockers, plus you've got everybody trying to get in to get a locker at the same time that everybody's trying to get in to get their stuff off out
right.
of the locker. So it just really made me appreciate how Disney does not make us do that. It's just awesome. And even the fact that there was one ride in Universal that I did not go on, but everybody else in the group went on, and poor Vern actually went on it. They made him go through a metal detector, and the fact that his phone was still in his pocket, he got kicked out of line and had to come give me his phone
wow.
to then get back in line to go on this ride. So I just thank you, Disney, for not making us do all of this, because I never really thought of it, but
the only time
it's
I've
amazing.
Ever had to do anything like that at Disneyland was on Big Thunder Mountain, my backpack didn't fit, but they just have you set it off to the side.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And you
It's just no big deal.
I like that so much better. So we talked about a lot of free stuff. You can get the buttons and everything. So what if you do one of my favorite things at Disney, which is
shopping.
So there's a couple options you have here. The best tip is to wait until the hour after, Main Street will remain open for an additional hour for your shopping convenience.
You know, and unfortunately, back when I first started going to the parks, that was a really nice time to shop. Now, it's a madhouse. Everybody has figured out that they need to hang out for that last hour.
Well,
so.
You know what I do? And my last time there, it was like this. So, I walk around for the first 20 minutes after park close,
mm-hmm.
and I just look at everything. And that's when everybody's in a madhouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As those people start buying and leaving, the last half hour, there's hardly anybody because everybody's either checking out or getting
everybody's
out.
Everybody's probably just in the panic, like, oh, they're closing. We got to get out of here. Quick, quick, quick. So, yeah, they don't realize that an hour is still an hour.
Now, if you want to beat the closing rush and you see something during the day and you just have to have it right now because it might not be there later, you can have your items held at the front at the Disneyland Resort. So there's you can pick it up at the stroller shop. The different places inside either of the parks that allow you to leave your items there and pick up afterwards are the Elias and Company in Disney California Adventure, Pioneer Merchantile in Disneyland Park, Port Royal at Disneyland Park, the Star Trader, or if you're staying on property, they will even deliver it to your room.
That's amazing to me.
That
might be worth the price of the property hotels, of having them deliver your items to you, plus you get your magic mornings.
It's actually kind of brilliant, because think about this. When you're making purchasing decision, other than price, what prevents you from buying
stuff? That's true. You don't want to carry it.
Yeah. So if you could have it sent to your room, like you wouldn't even have to carry it to your room.
Right.
Even though it's pretty close. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea. That's one thing I liked about Disney
really
World.
Really brilliant marketing strategy.
If you were to stay on property at Disney World, you could use your Magic Band to pay for all your food and stuff in the park. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would have been awesome because you wouldn't have to bring your wallet. Because you could just bring the Magic Band, and then you don't have to worry. Not that pickpocketing happens that often, but I'm always a little concerned.
Well, and it's
big tourist spot.
One less thing you have to worry about. And even just if you set it down somewhere or did it fall out of my pocket, it's just one less thing.
Go on a water attraction, you don't have to worry about it getting wet.
Exactly.
Because the other thing I do when I travel, too, is with my wallet is I take a lot of unnecessary things out of my wallet, because like if it gets damaged or lost or something, I don't lose all that stuff. So I only take what I need. So there's another tip. You don't have to bring everything. Go through your belongings and see, you know, do I really need to bring this with me to the park?
Yeah, I typically do that. I usually go through and I have my little Disneyland Mickey purse.
Nice.
And so I just take my essentials in that because, man, those purses, they get heavy logging them around all day. And I just don't want to have to deal with it.
Well, the backpacks are like that, too, because you think like, oh, this is great. And then you like walk for an hour with it and you're like, I just want to get this off of me.
This is 100 pounds. Quick, guys, eat your snacks faster.
Right. Well, if any of you guys have any tips or anything that we missed, which I'm sure we did.
Oh, there's just got to be boatloads of tips.
Yep. Send them in to us. You can tweet at us at DL Weekly on Twitter. You can email us feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. You can send us a message or leave a comment on Facebook. You can leave a comment on our Patreon. All these different ways to communicate with us for any of these tips. Please let us know. Speaking of communicating with us and feedback, let's get to some of our feedback. So let's start with, there wasn't anything on Patreon this week, and there wasn't anything on iTunes this week. So let's just start with Twitter.
All right. So from Disney Dweebs, rode the swinging gondola, sick as a dog, never again. So there you go, Tag.
I'm with you,
there
Disney Dweebs.
There is somebody that you can go ride the stationary gondolas with.
Well, you know, we had this asked in our Slack. I said, what do you guys think? And I posted a screenshot of this tweet in our Slack, and almost everybody else in our Slack said, oh, I don't have a problem with swinging gondolas. So I guess it was for me going, I'm vindicated, and then everybody went against me. So
that's okay.
Swinging gondolas.
Not everybody can have a stomach of steel, Tag.
Right. So Tracy did us a great favor this week. I'm not sure if we got any new subscribers or anything from it, but you guys can also respond to this Twitter. Fresh Baked Disney, if you haven't seen his videos on YouTube, he actually does a pretty good job also doing Disney news if you want to watch a video version kind of thing. But he asked this week, somebody asked him, and he retweeted to his followers saying, does anybody know of any Disneyland podcasts? And Tracy said, Disneyland Weekly is a great podcast. I highly recommend it. So Tracy,
Thanks for the shout out. That's awesome.
Yes. So if anybody else wants to go find that Fresh Baked Disney tweet and also recommend Disneyland Weekly, that would be awesome.
All right. And then also from Laura, again, regarding the gondolas. I don't mind the sliding gondolas. I enjoyed the special guest host this week, and keep up the great work, you guys. Well, thank you, Laura. We appreciate it.
And I'm sure James is happy
here. There's one more against you today.
Yeah. Some people don't mind that stuff. Some people do.
It was interesting to me that was one of the few attractions that I have seen the little barf bags on.
Yeah.
But I guess it bothers a lot of people.
So from Michelle on Facebook, and I have to really apologize to Michelle because She actually sent this in before the last episode, and I totally forgot to put it in the feedback. And so I messaged her back. I said, oh, I'm so sorry I didn't respond to this. Well, she said, good morning, guys. I just started listening to your podcast to prepare for our upcoming trip in May. I'm going back and listening to older episodes, but I had to laugh this morning. You talked a little bit about soap opera dining experience in DCA. My mom drug our whole family there when I was a teenager because she was obsessed with All My Children soap opera. Ha ha. So we did experience it in its full glory back in the day, LOL. Keep up the show. It's amazing, and I enjoy listening to it on my two-hour commute every day. Well, thanks, Michelle, and I'm sorry that you had to go through the soap opera dining experience. I'm glad that there's somebody out there that went to it. I don't think there's many of you, but I don't know. I kind of wish I could go back and experience it. I'm not a big soap opera person, but just kind of like reading the description of it, I'm kind of like, I don't know. This could be interesting to see at least how they pulled it off.
All right, and some email feedback we received from Grant. We just got back from a 9-day trip to Southern California that included a 5-day pass at the Disneyland Resort. I just listened to your podcast posted last week on iTunes, and I noticed that you read a negative review and you seemed anxious to get more reviews. I really enjoy your show. I stumbled on it while searching for information on the area. We live in the Midwest, and last week was our first trip to Disneyland Resort and Disneyland California Adventure. Disney California Adventure. So I have been trying to gather information for the past 6 months to prepare for the trip. I find your show to be my constant favorite. You guys are very upbeat and very concise with information. You don't seem to ramble or discuss anything non-relevant. You're also very to the point, and you don't tend to over-discuss anything. I have already deleted many other shows off my podcast list, as we probably won't be going back for a while now, but I have kept yours, as it is my favorite one. Well, thank you so much, Grant. I'm glad to see that we have a fellow Midwestern Disneyland fanatic in our midst. So that was really cool. Curious to know what part of the Midwest you're in. I don't know if you know this, but we're in Wisconsin. You're probably maybe nowhere near us, but that's okay. But I hope you guys had a good trip
and
enjoyed it. I'm not sure if this was your first trip there or not. But yeah, so if you have anything that you experienced in the park that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear it.
Now, one thing that I find interesting, because we've been doing a lot of feedback lately. We've been reading survey responses and stuff to kind of get what the temperature in the room, if you will, and find out what everybody thinks of the podcast. And it's great, because all the great stuff is great. And then sometimes there's some bad stuff, and we don't understand where it's coming from or whatever. But one of the funny things about Grant's email that I thought was funny was one of the comments that we get quite frequently, and it's not a bad thing necessarily, but is that sometimes we ramble off or we repeat ourselves or whatever. So it was funny that he said that we don't ramble or discuss anything non-relevant, we're concise with the information, and we get to the point and don't discuss anything.
You know, one person's rambling is somebody else's. There's just more information. That's all it is.
You know, I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and so when we're producing this and we're actually recording it, I try to think of like stuff I enjoy in other podcasts.
Sure.
One of the things I like is one of the reasons we have a discussion section of the show was I like the fact that people on a podcast, in this case just the two of us and sometimes James, get into like a discussion about something, because I like hearing their opinions, because we listen to the news from them and they kind of, you know, people, you know, understand everything. So I listen to a tech podcast and they analyze a lot of tech news and then they have a discussion about it, and I like hearing what their opinion is. Like, if you want Disneyland news and information, you can just go on the web and look at that up anywhere. What I think our podcast does is I think it brings our viewpoint to it. It brings our personalities to it, which people have said that they like our personalities.
Well, and our experiences, too.
And our experiences. And then now that we actually have an audience that's communicating with us, because we've done a few episodes. By the way, this is our 25th episode, so a quarter of the way to 100. Ooh. And so, you know, once we get that, it's also your feedback, and we kind of try to add your stuff in there, too. And so that's stuff I like about podcasts, and I'm glad that we can do that. There's some people who don't like it. There's some people that get frustrated or think that the way we do things is strange or it's just not their cup of tea, and that's fine. There's podcasts that I've listened to recently. I thought that their content was good, but the way they presented it wasn't very good. There was one – so I like true crime stuff. I get that from my mom, apparently. But so I was listening to one, and they had really good information, but they kind of had a comedic spin to it. And when I'm listening about somebody murdering somebody, I don't want to hear like jokes all the time about it, because like it's kind of a serious topic. So I got rid of that one because I was like, I don't know, it just doesn't fit for me. So
back to where we started.
Sorry.
We don't ramble, and we don't get ramble off topic
at all. Speaking of which, okay, as we wrap up this week, we want to thank all of you for listening each and every week, even if we do ramble. Please don't forget to support the show if you can by going to DisneylandWeekly.com/support or by sharing Disneyland Weekly on social media or by word of mouth with other Disneyland fans that you know.
If you'd like to support our show, please consider becoming a patron over at Patreon. We have added and changed a few of our levels. Some of the changes include access to our chat on Slack at the $3 level, buttons, stickers, and pins starting at the $3 level, all the way up to dinner with us at the park at our Club 33 level. Check it out at DisneylandWeekly.com/support to let us know what you think.
If you want to join in on the conversation, you can follow us at Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. Feel free to email, Facebook, or tweet at us any questions, feedback, or suggestions you may have about the show.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.